Revelation chapter 16, verses 1 through 11. I heard a great voice out of the temple saying to the seven angels, "Go your ways and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth." The first went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the men which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. The second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. The third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. I heard the angel of the waters say, "Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art, and which was, and shalt be, because thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy." I heard another out of the altar say, "Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments." The fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God which had power over these plagues, and they repented not to give him glory. The fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. They were biting their tongues for pain, and blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and repented not of their deeds. Verse number 1. And I heard a great voice out of the temple, saying to the seven angels, "Go your way, and pour out the vials of the wrath of God upon the earth." It is the voice from the heavenly temple, directing the heavenly messengers. We read in the book of Exodus, chapter number 39, verse number 32, "Thus all the work of the tabernacle in the congregation tent was finished, and the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses, so did they." In the book of Exodus, chapter number 40, verses number 34 and 35, we have this information. "Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation, because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle." In the first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter number 6, verse number 19, there is a question. "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own?" When we walk in the light of the truth, our body is the temple of our Lord, and we hear His voice. In the first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter number 12, verses number 12 and 13, we read, "For as the body is one, and has many members, and all the members of that one body being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, to drink into one Spirit." As the voice from the heavenly temple directs the heavenly messengers, so God's voice guides His messengers all over the world. As His voice sounds and is obeyed in every temple sanctified by the presence and loving lordship of Christ, we all declare the day of grace and herald the time of judgment. Many times during the human history, some signs of God's judgment were manifested, foretelling the final judgment. At the end of the day of salvation by grace comes suffering of our God's righteous judgment upon all who refused God's grace and thus reserved themselves for the horrifying consequences for their violation of our Creator's good order. Verse number 2. The first angel went and poured out his vial upon the earth, and there fell a noisome and grievous sore upon the man which had the mark of the beast, and upon them which worshipped his image. In the first book of Samuel, chapter number 5, the Philistines suffered for capturing the Ark of God's covenant. In the book of Exodus, chapter number 9, we find about the Egyptians suffering boils and hail for denying Israel's leave. Many epidemics happened in the past times, many disasters and catastrophes. All these point to the end of our Father's patient waiting and to His final judgment. The final judgment is coming upon all rebellious, impenitent sinners. Verses 3 and 4. The second angel poured out his vial upon the sea, and it became as the blood of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. The third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and fountains of waters, and they became blood. In this chapter, the visions are unfolding in rapid succession. Nowadays, when we see events taking turns rapidly, we wonder, is this the beginning of the end? And right after this question, our Lord's answer in the book of Acts, chapter number 1, verses number 7 and 8, comes to our mind. It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father keeps in His own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, unto the uttermost part of the earth. Amen. We remember our Lord's admonishment in the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter number 26, verse number 41. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord, when He will return from the wedding, that when He comes and knocks, they may open unto Him instantly. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He comes, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that He shall gird Himself and make them to sit down to meat, and He will come forth and serve them. And if He shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch and find them so, blessed are those servants. Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 12, verses number 35 through 38. Nothing will ever surprise our Father. When we trust and obey Him, we are safe, we are secured, and we are in sound health. We are beholding the closing changes rolling over the generation of murderous persecutors that shed the blood of our Lord's martyrs. Sinners despise the truth of the prophet Zechariah in the chapter 2, verse number 8. Thus says the Lord of hosts, He that touches you touches the apple of His eye. What the stubborn rebels were laboring for all of their time and with all of their might is now here. Our God's gifts and blessings are not available any longer for the progress of corruption and degradation. Since our Savior's offering manifested on Golgotha so many centuries ago, the gospel of salvation in Christ has been declared and witnessed in the world. Stubborn rebels waste every opportunity. In the Gospel according to John, chapter number 6, verses number 53 through 58, our Lord Jesus says unto religious sinners, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink His blood, ye have no life in you. Whoso eats My flesh, and drinks My blood, has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. My flesh is meat indeed, and My blood is drink indeed. He that eats My flesh and drinks My blood dwells in Me, and I in him. As the living Father has sent Me, and I live by the Father, so he that eats Me, even he lives by Me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Impenitent sinners refuse to receive with a humble heart the abundant grace of God. Slaves of darkness are always eager and quick to despise and profane our Savior's holiness. In the Gospel of John, chapter number 19, verse number 34, one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. The faithful witnesses observed it all, and our Father never forgets rejection of His grace in Christ. The murderers of His saints sin against their own blood. After these murderers had been drunk with the blood of saints for so long, in their bloodthirst they feed on the blood and flesh of one another, and in the end, all that is left to them is their own blood to drink. They must face their own despair and stand before the uncompromising judge, the same one they rejected as long as he offered his free grace. Human arrogance, self-confidence, and vain trust in the world powers, political systems, police and military might all crumble into their own emptiness and ashes of vain glory. All that remains for sinners is to face the judgment of the perfect divine justice. The empires of the lands perish. The sea powers disintegrate. The large oceans of resources are all corrupted. Destruction by the corruption of humanity spreads up the rivers that seemed indestructible for millenniums. The full circle is closing fast. Among the ancient traditions and civilizations, some dogmas and, quote, untouchable, sacred rules, close quote, were kept from generation to generation many centuries, but not any longer. All is questionable, nothing is considered reliable. In all that maze and confusion, the humanity is not turning from paganism to the true and ever-living God, the only Creator and Savior, the only reliable testimony guiding sinners to the light of truth, has been also categorized as just another mythology. In moral, intellectual, and emotional experiences, just like in the physical world of these decades, there is nothing stable, solid, firmly established, and preserved. Can we find a naturally pure and healthy drinking water, or any uncontaminated food? Can we see noble literature on the markets or in libraries? How long we dare to consider our children and youth innocent? How much wisdom we can hear from our ancient and highly educated people? How much we can take as a good example from their daily living? Are the world leaders nowadays known by their bright or dark characters? Is this world disoriented, lost? From the highest mountain peaks to the bottom of the deepest canyons, from the deepest oceans up the rivers and even to the most remote and secluded springs and fountains, all is only blood of the dead humanity. That is the food and drink of today's world. The only pure and holy, redeeming and purifying blood of the only Savior is neglected, rejected, forsaken. Verses 5 through 7. I heard the angel of the waters say, Thou art righteous, O Lord, which art and was and shall be, because Thou hast judged thus. For they have shed the blood of saints and prophets, and Thou hast given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another out of the altar say, Even so, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are thy judgments. In the beginning of the creation, our Creator beholds all that he creates in his mighty power and abundant grace, and he says, all is good. Now his faithful messengers and witnesses observe the visions and obvious signs of his judgments that at his appointed time spell the end of sin and woe. And we all agree, our Creator and Savior is holy in all his words and in all his deeds. In the Epistle to the Romans, chapter number 8, verse number 32, we read, God, that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? This truth is a glowing encouragement for prayerful and grateful believers. This is also a stark warning to backsliders and impenitent sinners. God judged our sins in his only begotten, beloved, pure and righteous Son. Is he going to omit full judgment upon any sinner that stubbornly rejects God's grace and salvation in the only Savior? Throughout the Scriptures we see many testimonies of our God's mercy and grace. But we also see many evidences of his uncompromising justice. Our Father gives us these lessons to teach us. No sin will escape his judgment. God is just. Verses 8 and 9. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. And men were scourged with great heat, and blasphemed the name of God, which hath power over these plagues. And they repented not to give him glory. They refused to repent when our God's Son was accommodating the needs of organic life. When our Lord withdrew the abundance of his provisions, the sinners do not think God is righteous. Let us turn to our Creator and acknowledge our worship due to his great name. They receive God's blessings without gratitude and respond with blasphemy instead of humble prayers. Sinners that prove so hardened are ripe for our God's judgment. In some pagan myths, the sun is worshipped as a great idol, a great god. Some emperors are regarded as sons of the sun. In the second book of the Kings, chapter number 23, we find the king Josiah laboring for the restoration of our Lord's covenant and worship. In the verse number 5, King Josiah put down the idolatrous priests that burnt incense unto Baal, an idol. To the sun, moon, the planets, and to all the host of heaven. Verse number 11. He took away the horses that the kings of Judah had given to the sun at the entering in of the Lord's temple. He burned the chariots of the sun with fire. The prophet Malachi says in the chapter number 4, verses 1 and 2, behold, the day comes that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yes, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that comes shall burn them up, says the Lord. He shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healings in his wings. We see so many places where the Prince of Darkness claims the title of the Blessing Provider. He does that in physical organic life and in the realm of spiritual dimensions. Often in the revelation, both sides, physical and spiritual, blend together. In the end, all the provisions of temporal and of lasting values fade away, and the world of sinful rebellion is prepared for total, complete judgment. Our Eternal Father turns temporal suffering of his children to the joy of eternal worship and adoration. Our holy and righteous God waits for the rebellious humanity to fulfill full measure of iniquity, and all that never turn away from evil, never seek His mercy unto salvation, to be brought face to face with the full consequences of all their evils. Verses 10 and 11. The fifth angel poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness. They were biting their tongues in pain, blasphemed the God of heaven in their pains and their sores, but still repented not of their deeds. What a glorious revelation about the most infamous positions and individuals in the leadership of the fallen humanity. Think of Cain, the first eldest brother. Consider Lamech, the first recorded polygamist, and his bitter attitude in the book of Genesis, chapter number 4. Is there any lasting peace, any blessedness in sinful leadership of sinful societies? Read Daniel's testimony in the chapter number 4, verses number 29 through 37. At the end of 12 months, the king Nebuchadnezzar walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spoke and said, "Is this not great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty?" While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee, and they shall drive thee from men. Thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. 7 times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High rules in the kingdom of men, and gives it to whomsoever he will." The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like bird's claws. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven. My understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored Him that lives forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He doeth according to His will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. None can stay His hand or say unto Him, "What doest thou?" At the same time my reason returned unto me, and the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me. And my counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise, extol, and honor the King of heaven, whose all works are truth. His ways are judgment of those that walk in pride. He can abase them. How much real security is in the sinful leadership of sinful establishments. Now, compare these records with the evidence given to us about one of the greatest godly sufferers, Job. He speaks to our Lord in the chapter number 42, verse number 5. "I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes see thee." Verse number 9, "The Lord also accepted Job." Verse number 10, "The Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." Verse number 12, "The Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 of she-asses." Verse number 13. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. How many dictators in the recent history were ruling over great nations publicly worshipped by their masses? Their subjects lived in fear and trembling, and many thousands of them were cruelly exterminated. In the end, quote, the great genius, glorious liberator, supreme leader, close quote, and whatever blasphemy was misapplied to decorate his or her demonic statue, that very dictator died poisoned by his or her nearest helpers just before he or she managed to kill them. Now, compare that with the farewell greetings of the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts, chapter number 20, verses number 18 through 28. When the elders were come to him, he talked to them. Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many tears, and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you, and have taught you publicly, and from house to house. I testified both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me. I count not my life dearer unto myself than my completing my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves, and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. In the second epistle to Timothy, chapter number 4, verses number 5 through 8, Paul wrote, But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Paul writes in the epistle to the Ephesians, chapter number 6, verse number 12, We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. There is a seat of the beast in every nation and in every impenitent, sinful rebel's heart. In the scriptures, we see numerous violent changes of rulers and regimes. Monarchs and dictators are overthrown in bloody revolutions because they lost loyalty of their nations. In the modern times and so-called democracies, before every election of candidates on every level of government, promises are multiplied. But the new hopes for improvements soon turn into disappointments. Ruling side and opposition switch places. But new disappointments are replacing the old ones, and crises deepen more and more. The people's disrespect toward the leaders is growing. Molestations of children are multiplied. Immorality is rampant. The sick and the elderly are less and less secured. It seems obvious that there is no leadership knowing the direction toward recovery. All is uncertainty. How can we understand the darkness filling the very seat of the beast in the verse number 10? The seat of the beast indicates the center of the empire of darkness. Yet there was some light visible, at times a tiny candle of Christian testimony, at other times glowing martyrdom. As long as the true gospel light was present in the world lost in sin darkness, there was hope of salvation. When the light is extinguished, because there are no true witnesses and because there were no seekers of the truth, a lifeless, social, carnal, antichrist, man-made gospel became a common denomination. After a while, the nations must face their total loss of direction and reasonable solutions for their moral, economic, intellectual, and emotional problems. As the prince of darkness ruled in the religious minds and hearts of the godless priests in Jerusalem, and they believed that their only solution was murders of our Savior and His faithful, so now the faithless, empty souls often fall victims of suicide. There are millions of people living in the large cities, and so many of them feel all alone and strange to all the others around. So many of the dark minds these days hate all the people they know and murder their family members before taking their own life, and forever sealing their fate. Darkness, darkness, and more darkness. The invitation to repentance is still standing, but the darkness comprehends it not. Gospel according to John, chapter number 1, verse number 5. The end is coming closer and closer. The end is near. When did then the fifth angel pour out the plague upon the seat of the beast? Perhaps all the way back when our Lord said to our fallen father Adam, "Dust thou art." When did the light of our God's grace in Christ brighten the path of these godly witnesses? Perhaps when our Lord said, "And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." The book of Genesis, chapter number 3, verses number 15 and 19. I say perhaps. Revelation, chapter number 13, verse number 8, tells us of the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. The entire revelation brightens our spiritual sight to see more of the measureless beauty, glory, and majesty of our great Creator and Savior. The bright beam of God's Lamb's salvation is stronger than the darkness over all the earth. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter number 23, verse number 44. The persuasive power of the Gospel truth and salvation is enduring to the end for all that trust and obey our Lord. The prophet Isaiah in the chapter number 59, in the verses number 1 through 4, tells us, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. For your hands are defiled with blood, and your fingers with iniquity. Your lips have spoken lies, your tongue hath muttered perverseness. None calls for justice, none pleads for truth. They trust in vanity and speak lies. They conceive mischief and perform iniquity. If our Lord gives them more time to repent, they only multiply their sins.